Harvey, you know, it's been interesting, and I'll go bring Rob Waldo Waldman on in just a second. You know, I really believe whether you're looking for a job, whether you're looking for the next sale, whether you're next looking for that next career promotion, whether you're trying to recession-proof your income, no matter what it is, if everyone had that philosophy of how can I help you and that better business philosophy, I just think life will be so much easier. You'll short-circuit the time it takes to find a job. You'll short-circuit the sales process. More people are going to want to help you, especially if you're out there helping others. So I wanted to go back to one or two things as I bring Waldo Waldman, my good friend in, who is the author of hey, Waldo, are you out there?
Loud and clear, Larry.
Awesome. And Waldo.
Hi, Rob. A handshake over the miles, Rob. Nice to have you with us.
Same here, Harvey. I look forward to chatting more.
Now, what's interesting about this, you know, Waldo is a fighter pilot, and he wrote the book Never Fly Solo. So I want to ask both of you guys. So in the spirit of giving and helping others and serving, and Waldo, since you wrote the book Never Fly Solo, Harvey, you know, Harvey's got his McKay 66, and I believe it applies to both, you know, business and job seekers. You guys touched on it, Keith, a little bit. Harvey, let me ask you a question. What are your favorite questions that you like to ask others, either in an interview process or, for that matter, getting to know someone better? And then, Waldo, I'd like for you to weigh in, because I really believe questions are the key. And as we talked about earlier, the more you listen, the better off it's going to be, because you'll have the data points necessary to deepen those relationships, to make it easier to set yourself apart, whether it is getting more business or getting that job. So, Harvey, why don't you chime in, and Waldo, weigh in.
Really, I'll take the job end of it and let Waldo take the other question. But when you're in there, you have to prepare to win. I've written six books, 80,000 words, 480,000 words. And in that theme of all six books, inside those pages, three words keep coming up over and over and over. Prepare to win. Boring, I mean, that won't sell a book, but that's what you have to do. You have to prepare to win. You have to know the questions that you want to ask before the interview. And then, of course, after they say, any questions you have, you want to ask the question. But preparation, here's a couple very succinctly. There's 22 questions in the book to be prepared for. But here's what people want to know. If you're a manager going in looking for a job, they want to know, whom did you hire on your previous job? Did you grow him or her? And where are they now? That's one question they want to know. They want to know about teamwork, without quite big buzzwork, because things are in teams, as you well know, with a lot of philosophies and cultures in certain businesses. Not everyone, but there are a lot of teams out there with the bigger companies. They'll always want to know what your goals are. Where do you want to be in 3 years? Of course, many, many people will answer the following, I want your job. Well, it sounds aggressive and like a good answer. That's like, it's as bad as saying, officer, I didn't know I was speeding. So you don't want that kind of answer. They're going to ask you to prioritize your two or three weaknesses. And what you have to do is take that question and turn it into a positive. Well, I happen to be a perfectionist. You know, I'm a workaholic. Now, you can't say that unless it's true. Okay, and in that interview, you can't tell half the truth. You have to tell the whole truth. You want to be authentic. But you see, that's a positive to some people's ears if you are a workaholic. They'll ask you about what were you criticized for, okay, substantively in your last job, and then tell us, did you agree or disagree? How would you describe yourself in 3, 4, 5, 6 bullets? How would your peers describe yourself? So those are a few questions just to give you a feel and touch and pulse of what's inside the book.
Okay, and then Waldo, why don't you take, because I mean, I know you help a lot of people in giving them advice in job transition, and you speak on leadership and teamwork and everything else, so why don't you share what maybe some other good questions that they should be asking or look to nurture those relationships.
I love what Harvey was saying, you know, and he says getting a job is a job, and preparation is so critical. I believe it leads to power, power leads to trust. And trust is the confidence to get the job done. And when you sit down in that interview, they are looking to see how you prepared, because that's the same type of commitment that you will demonstrate when you're making the sales call for the company or filling out the paperwork or walking the factory floor. We call it, Harvey, and I think we talked about this, is we call it chair flying. Before a fighter pilot straps in the plane, we practice, just like you say, we don't just practice the mission, we practice it as perfectly as we can. Practice doesn't make perfect, like you say. Perfect practice makes perfect. So we have to establish an environment where every possible contingency can happen, every missile launch, every engine failure. And I remember before I went, you know, when I got out of the service, I got my MBA, I talked to my twin brother who was an entrepreneur in business. I called up a coach, a mentor. I hired this guy, and we chair flew the mission together. We were on the phone, just like you and Keith were talking about. He was challenging me with questions and asking me. You see, I didn't have any sales experience. I was a fighter pilot. I led men and women in combat. So when I went in for my first interview in San Francisco with this company called Sanford Bernstein, a financial services company, I knew before they asked it that they would say, Waldo, you don't have a lick of sales experience. How are you going to be able to be successful in sales? And I told them that if I could lead men and women into combat and they could trust me to fly $30 million F-16s and to trust me with their life, then men and women will trust me with their money, because that's the same commitment that I'm going to bring to the table. And I went a little bit more into that, but she was impressed with my answer, and it was only because I had a coach, a mentor, a skilled wingman to help me prepare for those missiles. So preparation is critical, and if you don't have the answers to those objections, if you're not sitting down with somebody who's smarter than you in these certain areas, who's going to challenge you, then you're going to get shot down. So I agree with you 100%, and it does take work. You got to earn that job and earn your wings before you go in that interview.
And, Larry, I would be remiss if I didn't add to that that those words were just spoken from a fellow, okay, a great, great American who has flown 65 combat missions and had some claustrophobia to overcome, believe it or not, that particular fear, which is devastating in his industry, and yet an enormous success. So, yes, I agree with everything that you said. A little levity here, a brief aside. I was lucky enough to be a Miss America judge. You know, someone had to do it a few years back, maybe 7-8 years ago. And I knew that from the moment some of those contestants were born, their mothers had trained them for every conceivable question.
Sure.
You couldn't fool them on anything. But I spent some extra time there, and you had a one-on-one with all 50 of them with 6 days of judging, and I came up with one question that they hadn't heard of before. And that's always what the HR person is trying to do to you, to give you some questions that you haven't heard before, that you haven't answered before. So I happen to ask the question, if you were Hillary Clinton, would you have left your husband, and why?
Wow.
I can tell you, that took a couple of them and stopped them in their tracks a little bit. So
there's always going to be some unanticipated questions, and you know what? I'm sure they came up with some eloquent answers, but folks listening, if you're on an interview, you know, you can tap dance a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with saying, sir, ma'am, I don't have the answer to that question, but I'd love to follow up with you within 24 hours and get you an answer. If you sit and try to baloney somebody, they're going to know it. And, you know, integrity and character are so important in these interviews. A lot of times, you may not have the skill set that's necessarily important for that particular job. But what America is looking for now more than ever is character. You can train skills, but you cannot train character. And one of the best things I think you can do when you go in for an interview is share a story. You know, Harvey, you're one of the top speakers in America. Speaking and sharing stories is so critical. I had a buddy, Art Miller, really good friend of mine. He just moved to New York. He's trying to get a financial services job. And he said, Waldo, look over my PowerPoint. I'm on my fourth round of interviews with this financial services company. I'm flying out to Oakland. Take a peek. And he was supposed to give a presentation in front of 3 or 4 different financial advisors who he was going to work with. And these PowerPoints were full of words. He was going to talk to the slides. He shared stuff with me. I said, listen, share a story, a real-world, heart-tugging story of an actual experience that you had. Don't go into the interview typically like most people doing and sharing a little bit about themselves and saying, thanks for being here, blah, blah, blah. So get into a story. Make it relevant and real to them about somebody that you served and you helped in the financial services sector. It was different. It was from the heart. It showed some of his character. and his mannerisms and how he relates to people. You know, that's what people really need to feel. And this character issue that you mentioned with Hillary Clinton and all that, that's what America needs more, and I think it's so relevant. Number one, don't be afraid to say, I don't know, and dare to be different. That's what these folks are looking for in these interviews. Show your character.
I could not agree more. And what I spend quite a few pages on is as follows. And again, I say to all the listeners out there, if you can live your life this particular way and add this, okay, to your really mojo, to your modus operandi, but you have to believe it with your heart and soul and might. When I'm looking to hire a key person, and again, I've been in over 1,000 interviews, and I've represented 20 different boards of trustees in doing the hiring for them, I've spent my whole life on one word, more than any other word, to be a success, and that is hiring. I'm on a 30-city tour right now, Larry, 5 down, 25 to go, and they always ask me, how'd you do it? How'd you build your business? Well, it's a 5-letter word. When I'm one-on-one with someone, I'm looking for 5 letters. Most important word, as far as I'm concerned, in the English language. 5 letters. T-R-U-S-T, which is exactly what Waldo was saying. Once I can establish trust, now I've got a relationship, a short-term, a long-term, a permanent relationship with that employee-employer relationship. Doesn't matter whether in a marriage, best friends, whatever. Now, secondly, and this will surprise a lot of people, but once I know they're trustworthy, all right, because they're representing them, my name's on the door, I'm an entrepreneur, all right, once I recognize trust, then the second thing I hire for is sense of humor, right at the top of the list. And I don't apologize for that. We call it, not at all, we call it at McKay Mitchell Envelope Company, TGIM, Thank God It's Monday. Okay, we know that 80% of our people can't wait to get to work on Monday. How do I know that? Well, for 45 years, I've been calling them in, one at a time. How are we doing? How's your relationship with your boss? How are you doing in the continuing education? How's your MBA coming? Whatever. And so we want constant, immediate, unfiltered feedback from every single person on the payroll. And then you have a good feel, touch, and pulse of what's going on in your factory.
Well, let me throw out something. You know, here we've talked about a number of things. We've talked about trust. We've talked about not doing it alone. You know, we've talked about the philosophy of, you know, how can you serve others. So let me just listen. If you're listening to this call, my suggestion is do a few things. You know, who is that? You know, who are those lifeline relationships? Who are those people in the business community that have really helped you in the past? Who are those relationships that you want to build a better relationship with? My suggestion is, go out and buy a book for yourself. Go out and buy a book or two for your immediate peers who are in the process. You know, if you're both in transition, go out and buy books for everyone on your team. If you have other salespeople, why don't you go out and get Harvey's book? Go to mckaybook.com. That is www.mackaybook.com. Because the philosophies that we've been talking about, these strategies, you know, it's amazing. I've connected with amazing people in my lifetime, and a lot of times it's by just as simple as sharing a book. And, you know, if you want to do one better, if you bought enough books, I bet you even Harvey might even be willing to sign some of the books to the people. And that really impresses the person who you give the book to when you actually do that. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you to think differently based on the philosophies we've been talking about here. And, again, you can go up to mckaybook.com, and that's mackaybook.com. Harvey and Waldo, let me ask you this. You guys are both networking masters. You've served so many. Talk to me about the importance of networking as it relates to business and finding a job, as well as some of the innovative ideas. Because, you know, to me, so many people think networking is about sharing a business card at a cocktail party. And to me, that's not what networking is all about. I mean, to me, that's not working. And really what you want to do is help others. So can you guys just go a deeper dive in terms of what that's all about?
Absolutely. And if I could just put it in reverse for a few moments here, Larry, to just, again, chime in on what you just said. Because very, very important about, you know, giving books away. That's one of our secrets at McKay Envelope Company. We find the person's interest, and then we give those books away. It's one of the finest things you can do in the sales world, for sure. Now, on the back of the book, if you turn the back of the book around, I know you have it, Larry, I know you have it, Waldo, it says the following. It says, do not read this book. Study it. Underline it. Highlight it. Post-it notes. And after 6 months, you don't have a job, or anyone listening to this, which is not in the book, you know, not happy with the book. I personally, Harvey McKay, will give you your money back. Now, I'm on this 30-city tour, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. I've been interviewed, 35, 40 times on television, maybe about 40, 50 radio interviews, and everyone is asking me the question, how can you make a statement like that? How can you promise that? And I said, well, my answer is I've been doing it for about 40, 45 years. I know virtually all the 500 people have gotten exactly what they wanted. When I wrote Swim with the Sharks, I had a three-week fight, intensive fight with my publisher. I wanted to be the first author in the United States back in the late 80s to say money-back guarantee if you do not like this book. I finally pushed them over the cliff, and they succeeded to my wish. And so 5 million copies were sold of Swim with the Sharks. 18 people asked for their money back. 7 of them were my best friends. So looks like they wanted to kind of keep me humble. But what's so very important there, again, is that you have to read it, study it, underline it. Now, back to the networking question, as follows. I think if you had a list, all of the different, you know, skill sets that you have to have, I would say networking is right at the top of the list. A network can deliver all kinds of things. And again, very succinctly, and this goes into the book and it's woven throughout the book, but a network replaces the weakness of the individual with the strength of the group. You know, now you're among many persons. I call it mirror, mirror on the wall. What does that mean? Well, I earlier spoke about a kitchen cabinet. A network will build you a close personal friend, or two or three or four, that will become your kitchen cabinet. A network can help you, and I refer to this as know thine enemy, okay, through thine network. I mean, look what a network can do. It can tip you off if a key employee may be ready to jump ship to a competitor. You can count on people to counteract someone circulating negative gossip about you. My fourth is your network can help you expand, you know, someone else's network. So don't be afraid, again, to ask for help out there. Now, there are a lot of people, more people willing to give, okay, and help you than there are people asking for it. I always say never say no for the other person. And what do I mean by that? People go around all their life, Waldo, Larry, all their life say, I can't sell that account. I can't get that job. I can't go calling General Mills or Medtronic or General Electric. You know, someone else, they've been buying from someone else. No, you let them say no for you. That's what's very important in building your network. And then, of course, I could go to 10 or 15 ways you keep in touch with your network. But go ahead, Waldo. Yep.
Yeah, well, it's so true. As somebody talks about being a wingman, a trusted partner, I don't call it networking. I call it wingworking. And sometimes you have to be willing to give your wings away. When you go to these networking events, it's always important for you, you and Keith talked a little bit about this before, is to get the focus on the other person. Ask them about what their challenges are. Think who you know in your network who can possibly help them. And it's not just about getting a business card and saying, okay, I'm going to follow up. You don't build trust in a five-minute conversation. You build it over time. Most people do not follow up after they connect with somebody at a networking event, for that matter. They don't do the small things like send a handwritten card, go to their website, learn about them, offer them a referral with some of the people they know of and some of their clients. The best way to find a trusted wingman is to be one. So, so critical with doing that. Give your wings away. When you're helping other people, enough other people, they're going to eventually help you. And you don't call out mayday. You don't ask for help until you've done the necessary work, like you were mentioning before, to build the relationship. You know, Elizabeth Dole, the founder of the Red Cross, said, you know, I didn't wait for the rivers to flood before I asked for help and to build relationships. So don't wait. Another thing that's important is to find the wingman in your life and to get rid of the wing nuts, right? There's enough folks out there who are dragging us down, who are not necessarily doing the right thing and who aren't upholding the values and characters of a trusted partner. when you, I think you mentioned it before, basically finding, you know, the essentially your mastermind group, those folks who are giving you the expertise necessary to win. Hang out with people on the weekends who are lifting you up. Hang out with those folks who are challenging you, who are a little smarter than you, who are going to give you a different perspective about life that you may not have. If you're hanging out with clones and people that are dragging you down, you're going to turn into a wingnut. Find those wingmen. Build trust with those. Don't do it just during 5 days a week. Make sure it's after hours and folks who are, who have the character of folks that you want to be like.
Right on, Waldo. Just directly. That's what I call a direct hit, to excuse the pun. But yeah. Let me, again, just a brief follow-up. And you're talking about people do not follow up, you know, with those contacts. Cautionary note, just a little story. And it's about the meticulous spender. He had a little black book. He kept track of every penny he ever spent. You know, tips to the waiters and waitresses at the airport, buy a newspaper, a candy, gum, whatever. He wrote down every single penny he ever spent. Okay, meticulous spender. He had one problem, Waldo. He never stopped to add it up.
Yeah,
and you
sure,
see,
sure.
When you have a network, I have 12,800 names in my computer. They came off of my Rolodex ever since my father got a hold of me, again at age 18, and taught me about how to build a network. So if you just have a few, you know, you're going to have 50 people, 100 people, friends in your network, but look at the multiplication tables. Now, my 12,800, which is over a lifetime, 12 to 13, I don't know, it's about 2.4, 2.5 million contacts. But if you live in Minneapolis, where my business is and I live, all right, and I'm in your Rolodex or your computer in your network, you only got one card, but you got access to all of my, okay, 2.4 million contacts.
Right.
So
right.
So that's how you build a network, and exactly, again, what can you do for someone else? There's a Yiddish word saying schnorr. Don't be a schnorr. Those are the people you were talking about, Waldo, that are asking for way, way, way too much,
yeah,
and always have their hand out, and it's not a two-way street.
Right, and obviously we're on this call because of people like Larry who are wing givers, who are connectors. You know, you, when you pick up the phone and you find out, you know, we're trying to help you with this book, we're trying to help put America back to work, you don't do that haphazardly. It has to come over time, and I think it's important when you look at this, not to lose sight of that ultimate mission and the vision that you have of yourself. You know, we have a saying in the military, lose sight, lose fight. You got to keep those goals, like you mentioned before, Harvey, at the top of your mind. Put it on the mirror. Remind yourself every day what it is that you're looking for, and service has to be one of them. But also, if you lose sight of your wingman, you got to stay in touch. You got to reach out. And using social media, all these great tools out there are critical. But don't forget to pick up the phone, you know. We don't have the luxury every day of seeing our customers, our clients, our wingmen, our trusted partners. So nothing wrong with you picking up the phone and connecting. I bring a list of names with me every day. I try to make phone calls every single day of my past clients, people who are connecting with. I just spoke to Keith last week. I said, Keith, I just wanted to say hi, you know, and stay in touch. Sometimes if you lose sight of your wingman, if you lose sight of those people, and they lose sight of you, they're going to forget about you. This can happen with your clients, your prospects, your wingmen that you need. Don't lose sight of them and keep them on your radar at all times. And it's tough to do. It takes work. This is not easy, just like you said. It's a job 24/7. You've got to continuously earn your wings.
I love to call that, Waldo, spin to win is what I refer to it myself, spin
love
to win.
It.
And when my father taught me about the Rolodex at age 18, I would sit home for the next 25 years virtually every Sunday, get up at 5, 6 in the morning, and this would go to foreign countries, too, with different time zones, and I just spin my Rolodex. Hi, thinking about you. Anything I can do for you? That's all. And remember, you mentioned those notes. I mean, you know, short notes yield huge results. Little things mean a lot, not true. Little things mean everything. And, boy, to keep in touch with that network with the short note is so very, very important. Your antenna should be up all of the time. You know, as soon as you see someone not only doing something right, okay, and accomplishing something, being promoted, starting a new venture, but how about when they're down? People remember two things in life, who kicked you when you were down and who helped you on the way up. And Larry, if I may, it's amazing. We've been talking for a little while here, and the word rejection, which is, of course, throughout my whole book, comes up all of the time. We're sitting out there looking at the stats again. Every time someone applies for a job, 6 to 8 to 10 applicants for that one job. So there's a lot of rejection out there. Every interview, I get that question, how do you handle rejection? And, of course, my answer is as follows. Rejection, failure, does not have to be permanent. It's only temporary. That's all. Your attitude determines your altitude. I want to repeat that. Your attitude determines your altitude. And so here's what happens. You have to learn something, two things, most important about rejection and handling it. Do not take it personally. Just think of all the salespeople that are selling something out there. Even if you're an accountant or a lawyer, doesn't matter. You have to bring the business through the front door. So you're being rejected all the time. A client might leave you for one reason or another. Every salesperson, again, envelopes, widgets, doesn't matter what. Whatever your product is, you're going to get a lot of no's out there. You cannot take it personally. And then the given reason, most of the time, is never the real reason. So therefore, as a salesperson, if you can find out the real reason why you were rejected, now you can improve upon it. If you
Absolutely.
Don't get the job, if you can get some feedback from someone why you didn't get the job, your chances go up that you'll get the next job. And number two, you have to learn something from that rejection, from that failure. My closest friend in the whole world is Lou Holtz. He's my brother. We're joined at the hip. Talk to him, you know, every other day the last 25 years. And just love that person. Love the guy. But he taught me something. I wrote a book 5 years ago, We Got Fired, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us. Holtz got fired. He was the head football coach at the University of Arkansas, and Frank Broyles, the athletic director, fired him. He was in a state of shock, came home to his wonderful, lovely, bright wife, Beth, said he's going to sue the school, sue Broyles. He was unhappy, lost his cool, and his wife talked him out of it. And he goes in the next day, makes up with Broyles. Now, let's just see what happened here. He winds up getting the Notre Dame job for 11 years. He's in the Hall of Fame now, all because he learned something from that firing. And if you're going to burn your bridges, you better be a damn good swimmer.
That's awesome. That's phenomenal. You know, we are all going to get shot at. We're all going to get fired in so many ways, you know. If you're not willing to get shot at, you can't jump in the plane to fly. You have to be willing to deal with this rejection. It's part of any successful portfolio of character. One of the things that I think it's important to realize is that, and you touched on so many amazing points, sometimes you're just going to be demotivated. You can try not to take it personally, but sometimes we do. We're human beings. We're going to go, man, I just got rejected. I'm going to be down in the dumps. Do what I often do, and I think when you think about your relationships, they're there for you when these missiles come. If you're down in the dumps, you've been fired at, the missiles came, and you got a wing clipped, this is where that ultimate wingman is going to come in there, somebody that's going to lift you up when you're down in the dumps. We can only do so much on our own. Lou is your friend. I'm sure you guys have shared so many experiences. You know, his wife was his wingman. He was demotivated, upset, and she gave him perspective. Sometimes when the radar is sweeping, you can't see behind you when these missiles are coming. Your wingman is going to give you a perspective that you need. Let your wingman lift you up. Give somebody the opportunity to serve you, give you a different perspective to get you back up on your feet and back into the cockpit to fly another mission. And just as Lou Holtz did, it literally changed his career. You can only do so much on your own, you know.
In this dog-eat-dog, rat-eat-rat, shark-eat-shark world that we live in, if you want to be a realist, you know, I've never met a successful person that hasn't had to overcome either a little or a lot of adversity in his
sure.
or her life. And I'm sure all the listeners out there, if they analyze that statement, they will definitely agree with me. Let's just talk about firing. Incidentally, let me put a different perspective and way, not perspective, but exactly what you're saying in this tough world that we're in. No one, No one ever kicks a dead dog.
Yeah.
To be doing something, to be criticized. Want to stay
Absolutely.
In the corner? Then you're never going to get criticized. I'll never go out. You know, then boom, nothing's ever going to happen. And going back to building that network just for a minute, you got to be out there. Weddings, confirmations, graduations,
sure.
School plays, bar mitzvahs, recitals, big awards, funerals. You have to just absolutely be out there. So now regarding firing, which is, of course, then going into rejection, I'm sure we have some listeners on the phone who either are managers who will be firing people, or, Waldo, you have been fired. Boy, there's a lot of people out there. When you go a lifetime, you will get fired. Sometimes it might be the best thing that ever happened to you. So I wrote a chapter, and I love this paragraph, and that was in Sharks. It's not the people you fire who make your life miserable. I want to repeat this. Not the people you fire who make your life miserable. It's the people you don't fire who make your life miserable. And so, therefore, all of these fits are not perfect, and you can't take it personally with the rejection. And if you are terminated, you'll jump to another lily pad, and it might be the best thing that ever happened to you. In the 30s, in the depression years, 29, 30, 31, all the way through 35, 6, and 7, big, huge, magnificent companies were all born, as were individual entrepreneurs, because necessity is the mother of invention. And yes, we've got this tough, what I call 9/11 economic tsunami right upon us. And we have to deal with it. We must be a realist. But believe me, all these negative things out there, if you're coming from those kinds of experiences right now and you want to look at people who can bounce back, you can bounce back in the worst of times as well as good times.
You know, one thing also I think to give a little more perspective on that is that some folks listening may be in a career reading your book, who may be in a career and they're looking to start something new, go after that dream job, but they're stuck into this business, this company that they've been at for 10, 15, 20 years, and they're afraid to quit. Sometimes you have to be willing to quit if you're not going to get fired. You have to be willing to say, you know what, this isn't my passion. I have to take a risk. Never quit, in my opinion, is such a bad thing for so many people because it prevents them. It holds them back from pursuing their dreams, be it in a relationship, a job, et cetera. You know, every F-16 jet, every fighter out there has an ejection seat because there's always this point where you may need to bail out. Don't be afraid to quit. Ask for help. Look at all your look at every option available to you. Do your best job that you possibly can to make things happen. But by all means, if you have to bail out and find another mission, do it. It could change your career and really give you the success you need to take your life to the next level.
And the way you get that done is, and I always like to say, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Same thing with your kitchen cabinet makes that easy. Okay,
sure.
For you to achieve that, because you are worried, you're afraid to take that risk, and I love to say sometimes it's risky not to take a risk. So if you're going to take that risk, guess what? You get to bounce it off your kitchen cabinet. And every person, every listener out there should have a kitchen cabinet.
I love that. I love that analogy. You're a pro, Harvey. I love this call. I got to bail out myself. I got to go to another meeting. And Larry, I assume you're still there with us?
I am, and we'll wrap up Harvey and I, but we appreciate you being on the call, and thank you so much, Waldo.
Waldo's fantastic. Thanks, really. Thanks
you
for coming on and adding so much, and also look forward to having lunch with you in the next 60 days.
Without a doubt. Listen, this book, folks, this book is going to make such a difference. You know, Obama mentioned last week in his presidential address that his number one priority is getting America back to work. If you don't buy this book, buy it for a friend. Or if you don't need this book, buy this book for a friend. If you're a hiring manager, send it out to your people. I think this is exactly what America needs. Harvey, thanks for having the courage and the skill to make this book a reality, and I'm proud to be a wingman.
Well,
God
thank
bless.
You. Bye-bye. See you, Waldo.
Take care, folks.